Good morning. My name is Arturo, and this is the Morning Meditation Podcast. Today's meditation is called Values, Part 1. I'm going to start talking about the highest values in my life because they're the most important thing in the world to me because they define who I am and how I'm going to live my life. And I think it's important to share with other people because you have to figure out what are the highest values in your life. And how is that going to affect the way that you live your life? Now, your values won't be the same as mine, but I'm going to just discuss individually the most important things in my life. The values that drive my decisions and that move me in a very specific way. And that's what values are. Something interesting that I found out is that your values don't change. Once you grow up, once you become a full person, you, at that point, through experience and through decision, you have whittled down the things that are most important to you. You have established them in your mind. You've established them in your heart. They've become a part of you. Now, you might change circumstances and situations, but you don't change your values. Your values go with you. When you move, when you change, when you grow, your values stay intact for the most part. Now, there's some ebb and flow. There's some changes that would go on. You might decide one day not to value something as much as you used to. Or, like what happened to me, you might decide to value something a lot more than you used to. And maybe I'll start with that. I did a class, and it took several weeks where we would meet and talk about what values are, how they work, and establish our own set of values, which is really just an exploration of your personality and your thought life and your experiences that have led you to value certain things. And we came up with a top 10 list, and this top 10 list is a big deal. And this is what the instructor was telling us stays with you. This is what drives your life and helps you to make big decisions and small decisions, individual things that will add up to something big in the long run. It drives your direction in life. Well, in my values, I have my top 10 and for myself, being a man of faith, I understand God is not a value. God is transcendent. He's bigger. He's more than any value you could muster. So for believers, you know, they might say, oh, God's my top value. It's like, well, that goes without saying. And it's not what we're talking about here. You know, faith in God drives all of my values. So that doesn't even have to be mentioned or said or articulated in that way. But my number 9 value in my life was clarity. It's something that's very important to me, and I'll talk about it at some point. But here, it's going to be number 4. My top 3, I think, are rock solid, are not going to change. Family, truth, and artistry. But my number 4 changed. And It was teaching, but now teaching has been bumped down to number 5 because clarity went from number 9 to number 4 in my life. I realized that the changing of language, the way that people are being censored, the way that things are being taken out of context in the news, in our social media, in the public discourse, words are being weaponized, and this communistic idealism has taken over our public sphere to where a lot of people don't value America as it was founded. They've started to say really bad things about our country and our founding and the people who founded it. And so I realized how important language is. I realized how important communication is. I mean, obviously, I do a podcast because I really believe in communication, in speaking out ideas and articulating things and explaining life, as I see it, obviously. It has to be from my own perspective because I don't have knowledge of other people's perspective that they haven't told me. But clarity has become super important. And specifically in my own life, clarity is being able to speak and at the end of a conversation or an interaction with somebody, being understood. The person doesn't walk away shaking their head or with a big question mark wondering what the heck was that all about. You interact with people in a very concise way, in a way that leaves no doubt. Be clear. It's not about being right, and it's not about explaining things or changing people's minds. It's more about being understood. You know, you might not agree with me, but at least you understand where I'm coming from. But to me, clarity has to do with both sides of it. I also want to walk away from an interaction with understanding, knowing who you are, what you believe, maybe what your value is in a specific case, whatever we're talking about. I want to know what your value is, why you have that value. I don't want to walk away from interactions with that big question mark. I don't want to walk away shaking my head wondering what the heck was that about. I enjoy clarity. When somebody says something odd that I wonder about, I usually will ask. And maybe that's annoying to some people, but it's important to me. Clarity is very important, and especially because language is being used and manipulated for political reasons and other reasons, then clarity has really increased in value for me. But I already mentioned that's my fourth value. My first value is family. And I'm going to explain just a little bit about my ideas on family. I'm going to give you some clarity on what I think about family. Because family itself has been redefined. But I always go back to the original definition of things. At least I try to. That's the way that I function. That's the way that I carry these values forth, is I go back to the beginning. I don't try to redefine what it means to be a family. Society has tried to do that some. Our culture right now is trying to redefine family to be any group of people that is close together or chooses to be close together. And there's some value in that, but going back to the beginning, I see that God established two things in this world. There are two institutions that are developed and established by God and given to man. The first one is family. The second one is the church. Those are the only things that he instituted in the world, himself. And the first one happened way back in the book of Genesis, and it's allegorical, it's metaphorical, but it's so real, especially having been married for 24 plus years. It's so real to me what is said there that I understand the importance of it, and I carry it with me. From the beginning, God made them male and female. And there was a presentation of the woman to the man. There was this longing inside of him, and she wasn't revealed until he was well established in his work. And through that, he was well acquainted with his loneliness. And so the woman was presented to the man, and he said, "Ah, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." I understand that. You know, as a young man, I was taught to work. That's one of the greatest gifts that was given to me from my parents, is they are still to this day really hard workers, and they taught me that. They said, work hard, you know, it's a value in life, it's something important. And so I did that, and I learned that, and just like Adam, I became well acquainted with my own loneliness. And I met a woman. A young woman who I found really attractive, who I found great companionship with. We were friends first, and eventually we got married, and we started a family. And we did this with the only understanding that we had. I mean, we were both raised Catholic. We were in a traditional family, in a traditional setting with traditional values. And that has benefited us quite immensely. I was just talking to a friend of mine yesterday about that, how there's great value in ceremony and there's great value in sacrament and in taking things seriously. That was my point, is that marriage is important and it should be taken seriously because it affects your entire life. I listened to Dennis Prager and I listened to this philosopher, I can't think of his name. Sorry, names evade me sometimes, but they talk about marriage and family and how marriage actually increases your value in this world. I was talking about Jordan Peterson, that's who it is. But they talk about how a single man has a different perspective. Is, of course, he can be very ambitious and try to go out there and conquer the world. But generally speaking, a single man doesn't have drive the way a married man does because his perspective has changed. Once you become married and once you have children, your perspective is that these people depend on you. And that's a traditional marriage, that the man is not just the breadwinner, but he's responsible. He's responsible for the woman that he gave his name to. He's responsible for the children that they bore together. He's responsible for providing for a house. The woman is responsible for building the house, traditionally speaking. Of course, these things have some flow to them. They have some fluidity to them, to where you can define your roles however you want. But the reality is that these things still stand, that marriage is actually beneficial, especially to the man. I always speak from a man's perspective because that's who I am. But I think one of the things that I wanted to speak to was the idea of patriarchy and the way that's being weaponized and used against men to say that men just take all this privilege for themselves and kind of abuse the rest. Women and children are abused by this idea of a patriarchy. But I don't see it that way. And I think that that has been weaponized because the reality is that a patriarchy means that you are a father, meaning that you're strongly connected to your family, but also responsible for them. You take authority over somebody when you have responsibility for them. That's what it's like to be a father and a husband in a family. You're the head, meaning you're responsible. When things go completely wrong in your house, guess who's at fault? It has to be you. It always goes to the top. You don't rule above them. You do life with them. But when it comes down to it, the responsibility ultimately is on your own shoulders. That's how I see family. That's traditionally how it was. The reason that a man would have authority at all in his family is because he takes responsibility for them. A man who comes in and has kids with a woman and then runs away, he can come back later on at any point, you know, as the kids are growing up or when the kids are completely grown, and he can come and try to assert authority, but it's not going to be respected. Everybody knows that children who've been abandoned and a woman who's been abandoned, they don't feel a sense of respect for this person. They hold this person in no high regard if they chickened out and ran away and took no responsibility. Bottom line, if the man doesn't take responsibility, he has no authority. You can't just come in and start pushing your weight around and say, well, I'm the man. I was like, no, you haven't been. You haven't been taking care of business. And so I see family as this really strongly connected thing with a strong foundation that comes all the way from the beginning. I mean, anything that's established by God, I think, is huge. And family, I believe, has been. And it's not just, excuse me, immediate family. It's not just husband and wife and children. I mean, then there's our own brothers and sisters and our parents and our brothers and sisters' children, you know, and it extends out from there. And then you get into like close friendship relationships and neighbors and things. I mean, family to me, is not just the nuclear family. I think that is, as it's called, the nucleus of what family is, but it extends out from there. Of course there's extended family. I mean, people have really good work families too. There's a lot that goes into that. It has to have a center. It has to have a place where it is well-defined at the core, and then it radiates out from there to other people. And so one of the ways that I established the family rules and the family ideas in my own household is the way that my parents raised me. Of course, we don't take everything that our parents do. They're flawed. We try to improve on them. But in my household, I've taken the good things that they gave and tried to implement them. And so I'm raising my family and extending this family out. And I have to, because I'm responsible, watch out and say, well, I think this person's okay. And I think that person is not. And everybody does that. Everybody judges for the sake of the people that they care about. I could go on and on and on and on. But I wanted to touch a little bit on my first value and the foundations of where family comes from. And there's a lot more to this, but I think I'm going to leave it there. This is a Morning Meditation Podcast. Thank you for listening.